proclaim the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Shalom and welcome to the Everlasting Nation, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions.
This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another radio Bible broadcast. Today we begin a new series on the Trinity in the Old Testament. From their childhood, Jewish children learn the basic affirmation of their faith, found in the sixth chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. Quote, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord," unquote. They rightly understand that God revealed himself to them and to the human race through them, that God revealed himself to them as a singular entity. Sometimes commentators will refer to such a proposition as ethical monotheism. Among the cultures portrayed in the Old Testament, Judaism stood out with its proclamation that only one God existed. Many nations, such as the classical Greeks or Romans, many nations believed in a pantheon consisting of gods and goddesses of various types, with a singular supreme deity over them. Contrast that perspective with what God said about himself in Isaiah chapter 45. Quote, "I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me," unquote. A closer examination of the declaration found in Deuteronomy chapter 6, a closer examination of the Hebrew of that verse, provides a fuller understanding of that statement. The Hebrew adjective translated as one is the word echad. It does not merely denote a single unit. It can also refer to a singular entity comprised of several units. A verse found in the second chapter of the book of Genesis will illustrate this connection. Quote, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one, echad, one flesh," unquote. In that passage, the word echad denoted the result when a man and a wife consummate their marriage. They become one flesh. Though man and woman remain separate individuals, a husband and wife collectively become a single entity. A similar usage of the term echad appeared in the 11th chapter of Genesis. When God referred those who sought to build the Tower of Babel, he remarked, quote, "Behold, the people is one, echad," unquote. In that sentence, the adjective echad functioned as equivalent to the collective noun Am in Hebrew, a word which meant people. The passage emphasized the unity manifested by the members of the pre-flood generation, not their transformation into a single entity or individual. The Jewish affirmation of faith, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6, should not therefore imply that the Godhead consists of just one person. Instead, the oneness of God consisted in his existence as the only true deity, in comparison to the so-called gods of Israel's pagan neighbors. In the 11th chapter of John's Gospel, Jesus Christ affirmed, quote, "I and my Father are one," unquote. Some individuals have interpreted that statement as an allusion to God as a solitary being, who revealed himself at different times as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. This belief is known as modalism. The Bible does not provide support for a modalistic belief, especially when it comes to the Old Testament. Indeed, the 48th chapter of the book of Isaiah contains a verse which implied the existence of three persons in the Godhead. We'll examine that passage in our very next session. God is one. Not one person, but three people. A Trinity. One Godhead, three persons. This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another radio Bible program.
You've been listening to The Everlasting Nation, a ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can contact us at 423-876-8150 or go online to ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.